The way this sermon starts is not a commentary on anything that happened here today. Blah, blah, blah. That is usually the sound that I hear when folks who have so much to be thankful for go into extended complaining mode. At first, I really do try to hear what the person or group is saying, and I try to respond in a gracious and appropriate way. But when the complaining becomes extended, or I think the complaining is really unjustified, I struggle to remain compassionate and kind in my responses. I have the attitude that extended complaining only serves to irritate others. I wonder if Moses felt that way when the Israelites, recently delivered from slavery in Egypt, went into extended complaining mode. Of course food was necessary, but couldn't they have whined a little less? I mean, the whole story seems to be one of whining all the time. Today's reading really doesn't paint a rosy picture of the Israelites as they traveled toward the promised land. Even the question that becomes the name of the flaky substance the Israelites collected each morning has a sound of complaint to it. What is it? What is it in Hebrew is manna. Manna. It has the feeling of looking at something like that, this stuff on the ground, and going, yuck, what is it? And Moses is like, it's good for you, eat it. Keith Green was a singer. He was killed about 40 years ago in a plane crash, but he was part of the beginning of, call it the Jesus movement of contemporary music. Some of the music that we sing nowadays owes itself to the work of Keith Green and people before him, Randy Stonehill, Larry Norman, Nancy Honeytree. But in 1981, or maybe 1980, he had some fun with this passage with a song called So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. It sort of captures the mood of the times as the Israelites wandered in the desert on their way to the promised land. So here's your a cappella moment of the song, because we don't have the full orchestra that Keith had for that record. It goes like this. So you want to go back to Egypt, where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to... In the nicest of ways, I blame Harrison for grabbing it. Yeah. You wanted to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? And then the choir would sing. You don't have to sing now because you don't know this, but they would sing, eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Ooh, what breath, but dining out in style. Ooh, my life's on the skids. Give me the pyramids. Then another verse, where there's nothing to do but travel, and we sure travel a lot, because it's hard to keep your feet from moving when the sand gets so hot. And in the morning, it's manna hotcakes. We snack on manna all day. And they sure had a winner last night for dinner, flaming manna souffle. I don't think there was really flaming manna souffle as a dish. Also, let me take this quick moment to say that with the assistance of the Foundation Committee, we are launching a new kitchen ministry in 2024. Cooking events, maybe classes, catering, kitchen rentals, farmers market, cottage industries, the sky's the limit. What can we imagine? You want to get involved before it begins? Is Dave Scala here today? I see him, right? See, it's in one of the darker areas of the church there. So just raise your hand, Dave. See, Dave Scala, after the worship service, well, actually after the congregational meeting, after the worship service, to talk about the new kitchen ministries. So let's get back to manna, though. It's about food, right? What is it? Manna, what is it really? The Bible says, I'm going to give you bread from heaven, right? That was the thought of the singing group my father sang in the 1970s. They called the group Manna. You can still find records on like collectible sites. Look for Manna. They took a picture for the cover of the record at the Clarendon Hill Cemetery. There's a big cross at Clarendon Hill Cemetery, and they just sort of gathered around that and took the picture. They were one of those groups that were traveling to churches, to camps and stuff, and somebody liked their music and funded them making a record. So it's called God Gave Us a Song. You look for it. No? Never heard of it before? Anyway, they were in this group called Manna, and they thought their name meant something like bread from heaven. Then they learned otherwise, and they loved to tell people about their name. When they would sing, they'd say, so our name really means, what is it? And then they would break into one of their songs. It's possible that it is something else a little bit. To understand this, we go back to Moses. Do you know what Moses' name means? In the Bible, it's described as Moshe, as in drawn out, as in I drew him out of the water. But there's another way to understand Moses' name. M-S-S, without the vowels, is the first part, or the second part, of an Egyptian name that would mean son of. Just son of, with nothing at the beginning. An example would be Ramses, R-M-S-S. Ramses is son of Ra. Moses would be son of, we don't know. In Arabic, also related to that then, manhu, instead of mana, sounds similar, but it doesn't mean what is it. It means this is plant lice. There might be something to that. Next year is cicada season here, so if you're having any outdoor event, there's going to be buzzing cicadas May through July, right? Loud, loud, loud around here. In 2007, I thought I would have some fun with all of these cicadas, and so I collected a bunch of them, I marinated them, and then I cooked them. There's a video still on YouTube called The Cicada Chef. 30,000 views over the course of 14 years, can't be wrong. I tried to do it again when, in the front yard I was living in Wheaton, the cicadas that were supposed to come next year emerged 3 years early in my front yard. There weren't many other places, but I had thousands and thousands of them, so I did a revival of The Cicada Chef. I also wrote a song called I Like Cicadas. I think it's available on all of the streaming services as well. Try not to look for it during the worship service, but yes, it's there. I Like Cicadas by Kirk Moore, a very young Kirk Moore. I've been married and divorced and then married again, and my first divorce was not caused by the cicadas, but when I was going to cook the cicadas, my wife said, you're not going to cook them in regular pans, so I had to go to the thrift store and buy some cicada cooking pans for bug goo and they taste a little bit like shrimp-ish. They're not good, and really, maybe the shrimp was really the pankow bread covering that I had on them because I deep-fried them. That was good. I tried chocolate-covered ones, not really good, not too bad, and that's as far as I got. Chocolate-covered and stir-fried or deep-fried. Anyway, so cicadas don't secrete anything, but do you know what do? Some of the desert bugs. And so when we think of manna, manhu, the Arabic word that kind of goes with it, it is very possible that manna was likely the dried up secretions of scale insects, wax covered bugs that infest the tamarisk trees of the area the Israelites wandered. The insects look like plant growth. And so they had this secretion, and then it dried up, and it was a flaky white substance, and the Israelites turned it into bread. Aren't you really glad you know that now? bug goo. Now I'm thinking of that picky child. There are no picky children here, right? Any children picky with your eating? No? You will eat just about anything that you get, right? As long as it's chicken nuggets. Right? Okay, there we go. But it's kind of the view of a picky child looking at some goo on a plate and saying, "What is it?" And then the parent saying, "Eat it. It's good for you." All right, here's the real point, though. God provided nourishment, no matter what exactly it was, and it kept the Israelites sustained on their long journey in the desert. God responded to the complaints of starvation with exactly what the people needed. The people were grumbling, arguing, even saying that they had been better off as slaves in Egypt. They wanted things better on their terms. Do you remember me talking about what God's name means? Yahweh. It's sort of the version of the Hebrew verb ahia, to be. And so Yahweh, I am who I am, also is I will be who I will be. I was who I was. It carries all of the tenses in it. And also, it can mean I will be what the future requires. It's all just like that. Just as accurate as I am now, what now requires. So what is it, manna, today? Do we trust in God's providence because our needs are met? Because we have full refrigerators and cupboards, do we trust God more? Or do we fill our fridges and cupboards because we trust God less? It's not a question with an answer, but it is one to ponder. Do we hold on to our stuff because we think God can't provide? Do we ever hold back from giving because we don't think there's enough? How about we trust that God has given us the ability to learn from our past mistakes and to not repeat them? God provides enough so that we can be a caring community of Christ no matter what. So yes, there is enough. God does provide. Sometimes we have hardships, and we can see as we get past those hardships that God did provide. It's not always easy to see or to do, but trusting in God's providence is part of what we do as followers of God. And we need to reach out to folks who really don't have enough so that all will have enough. When the Israelites made it through the desert and had entered into the promised land and had lived there a long time, they still remembered. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy 24. When you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Remembering so that all may have enough. So maybe today God is tugging at your heart. God can provide you with what you need. Maybe today God is tugging at your heart. Let go of the harmful and hoarded stuff and know that God will provide even as you let go. Maybe today God is tugging at your heart. Give time, money, self, and trust that God provides enough. I don't know exactly how God is tugging at your heart today, but we're being called to respond. There is something God is calling you to do. I'm going to say that again. There is something that God is calling you to do. There is something that God is calling you to do. What is it? Amen.